Money or Love? Written by Barbara Cartland. Narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1891. The solicitor finished reading the document in his hand and looked up at the couple, listening intently to him.
"I am afraid, Sir Robin," intoned Mr. Lawson, "that you have been rather shocked by all you have just heard."
Sir Robin Dunstead, a good-looking young man of 29, replied, "Shocked is scarcely an adequate word. Horrified and appalled is perhaps better. Actually, there are no words to express what I am really feeling." His sister, Alina, who was sitting next to him, put out her hand and laid it on his arm. She agreed totally with what he was saying, and was feeling the same herself, but there was no point in her saying so.
"I am very sorry," continued Mr. Lawson. "And, of course, Sir Robin, unless you wish me to tell anyone, everything I have told you will remain strictly confidential to myself and my partners."
"That is just what I would wish," replied Sir Robin. "Equally, I am wondering if you are absolutely sure there is nothing left in the house that is not entailed." The solicitor hesitated for a moment. He was an elderly man with white hair, and had served Sir Robin's father for over 40 years. He knew more about the family possessions than anyone else.
"I think," he stated solemnly after the silence had become almost unbearable, "that I must now be completely honest with you."
"I agree." Sir Robin nodded his head.
"Speaking frankly, Sir Robin, your father has been through the entire house perhaps a dozen times, looking for anything he could sell. We found some small, unimportant objects, but I can assure you that there is nothing left worth more than a few pounds that is not entailed."
The 8th Baronet, Sir Edward Dunstead, had died the previous week, and because he had been ill for such a long time, and his son had only recently returned from India, the funeral had been a quiet one, with only relatives who lived nearby expected to attend. Robin and Alina were the only near relatives alive, and as their father had been in a coma for nearly a year, it would have been untrue to pretend they were deeply upset by his death. It was actually a merciful relief, both to the sick man and to every member of the household. Sir Robin had not asked to meet Mr. Lawson and hear the will until today, as he was quite sure that the only two people really interested in it would be his sister and himself. He remembered with horror that when his father first became ill, he had agreed to the solicitor's suggestion that the relatives who relied entirely on Sir Edward for their income should be given the capital sum they would have expected on his death. This meant that his son, who was serving in India, would not be required to sign any more of the monthly checks that were sent out to the relatives. Now, with the will read, Mr. Lawson had made it very clear that there was nothing left. Sir Edward, before he became ill, had spent money lavishly, as if he was an immensely rich man. And when he had no ready money, he merely sold something from the house and spent the proceeds. This had been easy, as Dunstead Hall in Oxfordshire was one of the most outstanding and historic buildings in the whole country, filled with the prized antiques and objects d'art. It originally dated back to the 15th century, and had been added to and improved, especially in the previous century. The Adam brothers, themselves, had added a new façade and built on two side wings. It seemed absurd for one man to live alone in such an enormous building, but no one in the family had been brave enough to criticise Sir Edward. Most of them lived far away, and his only son was serving in the army in India. His daughter, Alina, since the age of 16, had been educated at the most select seminary for young ladies in Florence.